Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.
Hello, you're welcome on in to today's edition of Kildare Focus. Happy Nulligan Mon to you all. I hope I find you well this Thursday. Coming up in the next few minutes, we will be speaking about Nulligan Mon, and is it really a day for women to celebrate, with Clodagh Finn, journalist and author. Lorraine Levis, an Eatstown resident, will join us on encouraging children to read. She's an Irish Times columnist and she also works for Penguin Random House Children Books, and she herself is an author. Ellen Jennings will join us, the communications officer with Bodywise. We spoke about this a little earlier on Kildare Today. Operation Transformation, it has received a lot of criticism. That's for focusing on body weight and shape, and currently also just 3 public beds available in the entire country for people with eating disorders. Ellen will join us at about 2:25. Hilary O'Donnell of Clain Community First Responders calling for punishments for vandals who damage public defibrillators. And Jade Kyo is a former student at Cross and Passion College in Kilcullen. There's a women's circle in Kilcullen she has set up. The group are meeting on Tuesday evenings. That's in the Carter Room in Kilcullen Community Centre. So if you want to get involved, do make sure you stay tuned till about 2:45 when we will be speaking with Jade. And of course, get in touch with me this afternoon. The text and the WhatsApp line is 0833 97 97 97. You can also call 045 898 999, and the studio email is studio@kfmradio.com.
Best of the 80s, 90s and noughties.
Now, it is Nulligan Mon, and I don't know if many of you do celebrate. If you do, let me know. I'd love to hear and what exactly you do for the celebration. But joining me now is Clodagh Finn, journalist and author. Good afternoon to you, Clodagh.
Good afternoon, and happy Nulligan Mon to you. That sounds like a great lineup you have for today.
Thank you very much.
Is it all women on purpose, or did that just happen by default?
No, just by default.
There you go.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, a nice way to celebrate the day. But of course, we wish happy Nulligan Mon to everyone, because the equality will help us all. I know some people don't really like when women have certain days to celebrate, but I think we can. Well, the vast majority of us can understand why they're in place, Clodagh. But it's really interesting. Nulligan Mon, a lot of people, you know, are very much in favour of celebrating the day. And I think more so in the modern age, more about celebrating women, because the day itself, Clodagh, it's kind of complex to celebrate it, because traditionally women would have worked really hard over the festive period, and now is the day, one day, to put your feet up and relax. And a lot of people saying head to the snug in your local pub if we weren't in a pandemic.
Yeah. My mother used to hate it, you know, and I suppose I'd say to her, come on, it's Nulligan Mon, we have to celebrate. And she'd look at me with this kind of imperceptible curl of her lip and say, no, thank you. Because to her, it was, she saw it as the mean cast off of Christmas. And she felt, why should I celebrate? You know, there is an old poem that used to describe Nulligan Mon. And it went something like, Nulug Nafar, Nulug Mur Ma, which is men's Christmas is a fine big Christmas. And then Nulug Naman, Nulug Ganva, women's Christmas is a no good Christmas. And she came very much from that tradition, you know, and she kind of said, why should we settle for less? And I do remember, though, at the time, this would have been about 40 years ago now, we used to laugh. And, you know, the men would make the women a cup of tea, you know. But to scratch the surface on that again and go back, I think it was celebrated particularly in Kerry and Cork, and I'm from Kerry, and, you know, women would go visiting on that day and have tea and cake, whereas in Christmas they'd have whiskey and beef, you know. So my mother said, why should we settle for that? So that's, I always had a mixed view of it, you know. But as you said, like, in recent years, it has been appropriated and turned into something bigger as a celebration of all kinds of women, and maybe another clarion call to shine the light on the wonderful unsung contributions women have made, and I think that's a good thing.
Just heading back a little bit in history, and the fact that kind of the men had the Christmas period to relax and to celebrate. Look, aside from obviously, you know, the vast majority of human life, it has been a patriarchal society. Why exactly was it seen as a time for men to relax and women to, I guess, beef up, no pun intended, the work?
Well, I suppose there was no change. Women did the work in the house. You know, it goes back, I suppose, to the Industrial Revolution. And we didn't really have an Industrial Revolution. But, you know, say if you take from the rural, a rural farmstead, the man went out and did the work in the farm and the woman kept the house going. And at Christmas, the house still needed to go. But not only that, it needed to go at a bigger pace, if you like. There was more work to be done. So the women didn't get the time off. But there was a kind of a small recognition of that then on the 12th day of Christmas that the women could take a little day off.
So, Clodagh, when you spoke to your mum about these kind of things over the years, like your father or maybe her father, was it, did they just kind of, you know, presume and assume that, oh, you know, this is my time off? Like, what was the thought process back then? Did they never think, yes, I'm working on the farm, would say a lot of people would have been, and obviously a lot of intensive physical work when you are working on a farm.
We appreciate
that. But the woman is working literally, well, to maybe 20 hours out of the day, especially over the Christmas season. Would it never have passed these, by and large, men's minds?
Well, you know, you kind of might ask the same question now. Now, I think, you know, things have changed immeasurably since then. But if you take the year we've just had or the 2 years we've just had, there's a group called Women's Voices in COVID, or Women's COVID Voices, I can't remember the exact name, and they're saying that in time of pandemic, it's really laid bare the inequalities and the difficulties that women face in their everyday life. I suppose, you know, things might have changed, but still women are very, the vast majority of health workers are women, the vast majority of childcare workers are women, and they have said, studies have shown, not just in Ireland, but elsewhere, you know, when you had people, when you had homeschooling and people had to work, man and woman had to work, that the lion's share still fell on the woman's shoulders.
And so, making a much smaller, like simpler example, a lot of people would have said over the Christmas period and made jokes about it, that when it came to families who had a mother and a father in the setup of the families, they'd be opening their gifts from their parents, would say, on Christmas morning, and you could tell that your father probably had no idea what you were unwrapping.
No, that's true. Now, I have to say, against all that, my husband cooked the Christmas dinner from beginning to end.
I love it, Clodagh. He's a good cook, is he?
He's a great cook. He made a ginger steamed pudding we had instead of, you know. So he's a great cook. Like, things really have changed. And I think there's a loosening up of the conversations around these things, you know, and there is an acceptance that, I think you said that equality, of course, is good for everyone. You know, on a day like this, we focus on women, but I would like to focus on anyone who needs help, you know. And the reason I talk is that an equal world, or if everybody is kind of doing their bit, it's a better world, you know. And that has traditionally, I suppose, been divided between the genders, you know, men and women. But you can look at it through other lenses as well. But yeah, today is a day to reflect.
What will you be doing today?
Celebrate. Well, I'm talking to you, which is a great thing.
Well, aside from talking to me, how will you give yourself a bit of self-care or something?
Yeah, well, the other thing I do, every day I tweet about a woman from history. And today I'm doing a Nollag na Mann special.
I'm on your page, actually, on Twitter.
There you go.
Yes, do tell us.
I'm just about to tweet about the 10 most popular posts I did over the last year. One of the things I write about is women from history and women who've done huge work, who have helped, you know, shape Ireland over the centuries, not just in the last 100 years, and have for one reason or another been forgotten. And I like to shine a light on them.
Yeah, well, it's gorgeous right now. Even I'm on your Twitter page. It's at Finn Clodagh, and you've a beautiful photo of yourself and one of your best friends, Mags Jennings. So it's so nice to celebrate all the women in your life today, isn't it?
This woman, yeah, she sent me this picture. It is, and to look at the good things, there's an awful lot to celebrate.
Yeah, we need to focus on those at the moment, don't we?
Yeah, and the first woman, I just want to actually remember her. She's from Kilkenny, and just seen as the Australian Open is on at the moment, this woman is called Mabel Cahill, and she won 5 tennis championships in the US Open when it started.
Wow.
And she's, yeah, almost forgotten, you know, and she died in poverty, and her grave is unmarked. So I hope that this year maybe we will find it and mark it, you know. So just, I love to fill in the gaps. That's what I'll be doing, is filling in the gaps. I love collecting stories, telling stories. This year I focused on women, but I hope to focus on men too. There are so many untold stories. So that's what I'll be doing today. What about yourself, Kira?
I don't know. I don't know how I can celebrate. I guess it's celebrating the women in your life that help you, isn't it? And I've got great male friends, but I also have amazing female friends, and I think that's probably what today is about, really, for me, and maybe people my age. I don't know, but I'd love to hear from you guys to let me know what you're doing today. 0833 97 97 97. And Clodagh Finn, journalist and author, discussing Nollaig na Mban with us, and a very happy Little Women Christmas, isn't it? Or Little Women's Christmas.
Yes.
So it's the words in some form, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Clodagh. Take care of yourself.
Thanks very much, Kira.
Now, a lot of people are heading back to the classrooms today, but we know some people and some students, children in particular, will be kept at home because parents, unfortunately, don't feel completely comfortable with sending their kids back to school. So this next topic might be helpful for you if you do have some of your kids staying home a little longer at the moment. Lorraine Levis is on the line. She is an Eadstown resident, and she's also an Irish Times columnist, an account executive for Penguin Random House Children Books, and author of Once Upon a Reader. A lot of titles there, Lorraine.
And I love the fact that you started with Eadstown resident. That's the first time I've had that, and it's just, yeah, pride for the hometown, you know?
You know, you people from Eadstown are absolutely full of pride for the place. I don't think I visited enough. I think I need to head out. Caoimhe Harney's always talking about it. I got to head out and see what's going on there at the moment. It's been a few years since I've been out and about there. But
sorry, it's still just loads of fields.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good. Maybe some houses we could build on them, maybe not. Yeah. Who knows, Lorraine? Listen, there are a lot of kids who are going to be at home in the next few days. And even if they're not, they've a lot more time on their hands because, unfortunately, you know, with the rate of COVID cases, you know, people are trying to occupy themselves a bit more and limit their social contacts. And reading is obviously a great way to occupy yourself and a great way to educate yourself. And you're encouraging kids to read, aren't you, Lorraine?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's something that we've seen all over the place with adults, kids and everyone in between. You know, a lot of people are just trying to find some way to pass the time, to go somewhere else for a while, because the world is quite scary at the moment. And I think no one is feeling that sort of more acutely in a way, because it's very hard to understand what's going on from a child's perspective. And so books offer both, you know, that educational tool where they're not getting their usual outlets for education, but also just a little bit of escapism, which I think everybody needs at the moment.
Yeah, Lorraine, I know myself, movies and books have really helped me over the past like 22 months. It is just almost switching off your brain, because unfortunately I can't do that. I'd love to be able to switch off my brain sometimes, but books in particular, they really do help you. And if it's a book you love, you really can't put it down. I know that's so cliche to say, but it is a great feeling, and you do end up staying up really late and obviously regretting it the next morning. But it's something that anybody can actually learn to feel like that when it comes to books. And obviously nowadays, the actual physical book themselves, kids aren't really picking them up as much. What would you say to parents who do want to encourage their children to move away from, let's say, the Xbox, PlayStations, whatever it may be, and turn to the pages?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because the idea of screen time and the worry and anxiety around screen time for parents is something that I hear about an awful lot. When it comes to reading, it's an interesting one, because the children's book industry is booming in physical and in digital and audio formats. There's so many ways for kids to get their books now, with parents obviously leaning towards the physical, in the same way that the adult publishing is as well. We're still seeing a huge amount of readers of physical books. So parents obviously want to pass that on to their children. The way I see it is, if you're trying to get them away from the screens, first of all, reading on a Kindle or reading on an iPad is a great way to go. We're still reading books. But on the other hand, using the other activities like the children are interested in, if it is Xbox play and like gaming in general, if it's any other activity, if it's sport, if that's what they're interested in, use that as your hook to get them reading. Find books about their favourite teams, their favourite players. The amount of video games that have tie-in novels nowadays, to expand the lore. Like if you love Star Wars, sure, there's so many Star Wars books, comic books as well. You know, go in, find another way in, not the direct route of this is the book that I loved when I was a child. Sit down there and read it, and that's it.
Yeah,
find
such a
what
great
they
idea.
Want.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember when I was younger, I would get maths and that makes me sound like as a child so odd, but like for the PlayStation and stuff like that and for the computer, like your parents would get you those games because obviously they were more encouraged for you being in front of the screen when you were doing something a little educational, weren't they? Listen, Lorraine, it was absolutely lovely to speak with you this afternoon. Eatstown resident, as we did mention, and of course Irish Times columnist and account executive for Penguin Random House Children Books, and author of Once Upon a Reader. Thank you very much for joining us, and take care, Lorraine. And of course, if you want to encourage your children to read, Lorraine has some great tips and advice for you there. Now, before we go to the break, and coming up after the break, we'll be speaking with the comms officer with Bodywise. We have been contacted from the US. It's a big hello, I want to say, to Jen. Jen contacted me yesterday. She is from Kildare, and she's living in the US, South Carolina to be exact, and she says she listens every day. She was very, very kind in her message, so thank you so much, Jen. She says today she's doing housework on Nollaig na Mban, Women's Little Christmas Quarantine due to COVID, so she thinks that's what's keeping her sane right now. So she's organising and decluttering the house. So thank you so much for getting in touch with us, Jen. It's lovely to hear from you over in the States. And of course, anybody else who wants to chat with me this afternoon, 0833 97 97 97.
Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.
Now, we were speaking about this on Kildare Today this morning, the TV show Operation Transformation. Basically, what it does is some people may not agree with me wording it like this, but it's trying to help people who are having trouble with losing weight and I guess maybe their diet in general. But a lot of people are criticising the dieting culture that the show promotes. On the line now is Bodywise Communications Officer Ellen Jennings. Good afternoon to you, Ellen, and thank you so much for the time.
Hi, Kira. Thanks for having me on.
Ellen, as the comms officer with Bodywise, how do you perceive a show like Operation Transformation?
So I suppose it's important to say that we are a voice for our service users who have contacted us regarding their experiences. And as our statement suggests, although there are some people who might find the show beneficial, there are equally a number of people who might be negatively impacted by the focus on weight and numbers, and that can be triggering for people who might be at risk of coping in a way like disordered eating. So I suppose weight, the focus on weight is what we are concerned about. It's not really an accurate determinant of health. There's other more holistic approaches that could be taken to kind of focus on and bring that measure of success back to something that maybe isn't focused so much on weight.
Yeah, because when we were talking about this earlier, two of my colleagues were saying, it's exploitative and the fact that people are parading around in their underwear, maybe in some cases, maybe a little bit more clothing nowadays. I don't know. I haven't actually seen the show myself. But is there a space, Ellen, for shows like this? Because, yes, obviously this triggers many people and I can completely understand why, and I'm not trying to be uncompassionate by saying this, but some people obviously benefit from I guess counting calories in shows like this. So is there a room or should there be a room for shows like this in modern day society?
I suppose we're not saying that no one is going to benefit from it, but we need to take into consideration that there are a large proportion of people, as we can see from the reaction to the statement and from the feedback that we have had previously to the statement, there are a large number of people who are impacted negatively. So I suppose it's to take that into consideration, and is there ways that the show could be adapted to take that focus away from weight and put it more towards things like, energy, mood, stress levels. And although they have said that they're going to take a more holistic approach, towards it. Weight loss still seems to be that kind of target. So I'm wondering, as the show progresses, if that target will kind of change towards the other aspects of health.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting, I guess, for a show like that to hear from people and from services like Bodywise, because obviously you have so much information and knowledge when it comes to people who are dealing with EDs. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in this country, as we know, suffering or living with eating disorders. And very sad news, just 3 public beds are currently available in the entire country for people with eating disorders. Ellen, seeing those figures, they're really, really disheartening. We know there's a lot of health issues in this country at the moment. We're mid-pandemic, but that does not stop things like eating disorders rearing their ugly heads.
I suppose it's a little bit more complicated than that to say that there's only 3 beds in the entire country, because although there are 3 funded beds, that's not to say that that's the only space that there are for inpatients. And in St. Vincent's, for example, there will be more than 3 inpatients at any one time in general beds getting the same inpatient treatment as Vincent's. So I suppose there's a little bit more to it than that. And I suppose we can't really comment too much, as it's a HSE service, but mm-hmm. we can comment on what we do know and what I suppose the minister has promised. And the funding is there and recruitment is ongoing for the HSE National Clinical Programme, and it's in the advanced stages of recruitment. And by the end of 2022, there should be 9 community eating disorder teams in operation.
Now, Ellen, obviously you deal with service users and obviously your colleagues at Bodywise. Would say certain hospitals across this country obviously deal with a number of mental health issues, things like anxiety, depression, eating disorders, would say schizophrenia, you know, the issues can be very complex and broad. Is there enough, you know, solely, I guess, eating disorder facilities and recovery centres in this country? Because I do believe that there is one in Ball's Bridge in Dublin, but I'm assuming that that's not enough for the amount of people living in this country that need that specific care. And maybe the mix of people with other issues may cause problems potentially down the line.
So what you've mentioned there is a new facility, so we don't have much information on that. But we do know that there is recruitment ongoing for other teams throughout the whole country. And it's important to remember as well that we want people to be treated within the community and not become so unwell that they require hospitalisation. So that's the idea with the National Clinical Programme, is that treatment will occur within the community where people can recover and live their lives simultaneously. As we know, hospital is not the ideal place for recovery. So in terms of having teams and mental health teams throughout the country, I feel that with the development of the National Clinical Programme, there will be enough for everyone.
Okay, well, Ellen Jennings, who is the Communication Officer with Bodywise, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And just before we go to the next song we have up, I just want to give you some numbers. So the Bodywise National line is 1890 200 444, or you can email Alex, A-L-E-X, at bodywise.ie. That is for anybody out there who's suffering or living with an eating disorder. There's also Aware, 1800 80 48 48. They generally service people who are dealing with depression and anxiety issues. Samaritans at 116123, or you can email joe at samaritans.ie. Pieta House's line is 1800 247 247, and the Teen Line Ireland is 1800 833 634. That's for people aged 13 to 18. And Childline for all under 18s is 1800 666 666.
Kildare Focus with Kira Noble.
Now, I think we all feel over the past 22 months, nothing has really happened, as in, obviously there's been a pandemic, but aside from the pandemic, there hasn't been much. But when you look back on it, there's been a lot that has happened. It's nearly a year and a half ago since Golfgate, and that was in August 2020, the 19th of August. And the Golfgate trial of 2 politicians and 2 hoteliers has begun today, and they've heard claims that, in quotes, good people had to resign after the public was, in quotes, whipped up into into hysteria following the event. The independent TD Noel Grealish, who was 55, and the former Fianna Fáil Senator Donie Cassidy, who was 76, John Sweeney, a 61-year-old owner of the Station House Hotel in Clifton, where they had the event, and his son James, who's 32, is the general manager of the hotel. They're facing charges in relation to the Oireachtas Golf Society dinner. It took place at the hotel on the 19th of August 2020, and the state is alleging that the four men were organisers of the event and that the event contravened a penal provision of a regulation made under Section 31A1 of the Health Act 1947 as amended to prevent, limit, minimise or slow the spread of COVID-19. It'll be very interesting. It's expected to be a 5-day trial. It's being held in Galway District Court. It began obviously earlier this morning. It was delayed a little, so it'll be very interesting to hear what else comes out of that. Do let me know what you think yourself. Do you think it's been blowing up and it, the public have been whipped into hysteria, or do you think rightly so they need to stand trial? Obviously level 3 restrictions were in the country at the time of the Golf Society dinner. Now joining me on the line is a member of Clane Community First Responders, Hilary O'Donnell, and it's lovely to speak with you, Hilary.
Thanks, Ciara. I was saying Hilary MacDonald was very pedantic about the old
MacDonald. Okay, no worries whatsoever.
No problem.
You should be pedantic. I am sorry. I wouldn't like if somebody called me the wrong name. Sorry about that, Hilary.
You're okay.
Please do accept my apologies.
You're okay.
Hilary, you're here to discuss a very serious issue because there's 4 public defibrillators damaged or stolen in recent weeks, and this has prompted calls for harsher penalties. Now, first responders are calling for cross-party support for a bill. Just exactly what has been happening across the country over these few weeks?
Well, fortunately for Clane community, we haven't experienced this on social behaviour, but some of the counties have experienced on social behaviours where the public access AEDs have been damaged or removed. And these are life-saving pieces of equipment that volunteers have got together and the local communities have, you know, put their monies together and put these AEDs in place so that they, if in the event of an emergency response, that these public access AEDs are available to the public. So, you know, it's very important that we try and maintain the operational function of this equipment at all times.
Mm. Now, the people are speaking about this bill that it would impose a maximum sentence of 5 years imprisonment, a €50,000 fine or both for those convicted of interfering with a defibrillator. I know a few people whose lives have actually been saved because they've used defibrillators, and I also know of people who had no training when it came to any sort of CPR, etc., who actually used defibrillators on people when they're obviously in crisis. And just in Clane, where exactly is the defibrillators?
So we have 4, we've actually 6 public access AEDs dotted around
That's
the village,
amazing.
Which is great. And then we also have some sporting communities that have access to AEDs as well. So our public access AEDs, there's one at the Maxall station, there's one on the main street at the parish shop. We also have one at the Super Value shopping centre there outside the Dr. Vadden's office. And the 5th one then is on the Ballinagapa Road as you're progressing up the Ballinagapa Road here in Clane. And we also have 2 local estates who have recently put AEDs accessible in Abbey Park in Clane. And then the 6th one that will be live in the next couple of weeks will be in Ahamore. Sorry, I do get confused with the estates. So
okay.
It's absolutely brilliant to have 6 public access AEDs in the village of Clane. And then our responders have 6 kit bags. So that's 12 AEDs accessible to the community.
Wow, that's amazing.
In Clane.
Hilary, if there's anybody out there who wants to, I guess they may have a community first responders in their area, but when it just comes to Clane, who wants to volunteer or get involved themselves, how can they do so?
We have a Facebook page that, you know, we're not very proactive on it, but if anyone wants to send us a message on it, please feel free on the Clane Facebook page. Also, we have an email address.
Hilary, just to ask you, is it Clane Community First Responders Facebook? Is that the name?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And your email, go ahead.
Clane cfr@gmail.com.
Brilliant. Hilary MacDonald, Clane Community First Responder Member, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon, and do take care. Now, I just want to bring you an update in regards to the Golfgate trial. We were just speaking about it a moment ago. So Noel Grealish has insisted that he had nothing to do with the organisation of the Golf Society dinner party. He is an independent TD, or was, for Galway West, and he's one of four men on trial, as I was mentioning a little earlier on. Now, we're going to be discussing something very different now, which I just think is really cool, really good idea. And obviously, with everything that we've been going through over the past 22 months, that's every single human here in County Kildare and across the country and globe. But obviously, I'm joined now by 20-year-old Jade Kyo. She's a former student at Cross and Passion College, and she has begun the Women's Circle in Kilcullen. Hi, Jade.
Hi, Kira. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's lovely to speak with you. It's really cool what you've set up. So, I guess to begin, what exactly is the Women's Circle?
Basically, the aim of the group is to just create a safe and supportive space for people to meet like-minded individuals and have some interesting chats and discussions on a different topic each week. And then there would be like some meditation on the same topic and journaling and lots of other like great self-care habits to aid and empower women on their journey to like healing and self-development, that kind of stuff.
And Jade, like, how did you yourself come up with this? Because I think, you know, you're a few years younger than me, but I think it's kind of people maybe our generation that focus on this stuff a little bit more, but it can be so beneficial for people who are any age, literally. So why did you yourself decide to obviously get involved with the local community and help them, I guess, to an extent?
I suppose, like, I've always had an interest in the whole, like, area of self-development and stuff, but I'd say maybe, like, in the middle of last year, I kind of got really hooked on it and really, you know, actually was implementing the habits into my life every day to kind of just make myself be, like, a happier, nicer person. And I suppose...
I like that you said nicer.
It does make you, like, a happier and nicer person. And I suppose when I started on my journey, I would have loved to have, like, somewhere like that to go and have other people that are into the same things and, you know, just other people that are going through the same things that I was going through. And I suppose, like, I kind of had mentioned to someone that I would love to have a group like that to go to, and they said, why don't you just set up one then? And that was nearly, like, maybe, like, October last year. And kind of from there then, I did a course in teaching meditation, and I suppose then I just decided to go for it then this year and just set one up.
So you've mentioned their meditation and journaling in particular. Yeah. For people who don't know exactly what journaling is, describe that a little bit for us.
Well, I suppose, like, there's many different types. Like, for example, I would wake up in the morning, I would journal, and I'd write about, like, things that I'm grateful for, kind of how I'm feeling on that day, and maybe my aims for the day. But then there's, I suppose, you could journal, like, about maybe a certain topic, like, you know, like, what do I feel is holding me back from, like, achieving my dreams? Or, you know, who should I forgive from my past to, like, help me move on? Like, you know, there's lots of different, like, journal prompts and stuff you could use as well. On lots of different topics and stuff to kind of basically just get to know yourself and help yourself develop as a person, basically. Yeah.
And as well, the meditation, I think a lot of people, not everybody, because I'm so into meditation and that type of thing, but I know, you know, it's not for everybody, and I do appreciate some people listening, but you know, if you find something beneficial, sometimes you want to share it with others, don't you? Well, most of the time, hopefully, most people do want to share it with others. So just kind of describe that a little bit, because a lot of people, when they do begin meditating, firstly they think this is all just about, like, humming and hawing or amen. But it's not just that, and obviously it does take a lot of mental strength to be able to meditate, because you can very easily be distracted.
Definitely, yeah. And I suppose, like, the whole point of meditation is, I suppose, just getting yourself to sit down, and even with those distractions, like, allowing yourself to kind of focus on your breath, focus on your body, and just be in the moment is ultimately what I would, how I would describe it. And, you know, like, just sit with yourself and just be. And I suppose, like, there is so many different benefits to it that I think everyone should be doing it. And I know some people might not be interested, but, like, a form of meditation could be even, like, going for a walk without earphones and basically just, like, taking in, you know, your surroundings and stuff like that. But for me, I actually sit down to meditate. I pop on, like, some nice music, like some candles, and basically just, like, breathe, be in the moment, kind of go down, do a body scan through your body to see how you're feeling. And it is just, it's just so amazing, and it does make you feel kind of really good after, because you've allowed that time to just sit with yourself and do something nice. for yourself.
Now, Jade, when was the actual first meeting of the group? Is it this Tuesday or was it Tuesday just gone?
It's this Tuesday, yeah. So it's coming up now, this Tuesday. It
okay. And can people get involved? Because I know for the first session you were saying you wanted to be a little bit more intimate, you know, to let it start out that way and see how it progresses. Can people who are listening attend?
Well, I've actually, today I only decided to go with a Friday night session as well. So starting next Friday night, there will also be a session in the Kilcullen Community Centre as well.
So that's the 14th, is it, Jade?
Yeah, the 14th, yeah, okay. At 7 o'clock. And there's still some spaces left in that one because I had one or two people waiting. But yeah, there's still spaces left.
And do you have to be a Kilcullen resident to attend?
No, anyone like from the local area that's willing to come, yeah.
Great, that's willing to come, I like it. And tell me this, Jade, how can people get in touch to book a place, I guess?
I suppose people could kind of contact me on Instagram. My Instagram is at growthwithjade. And you can pop me
just spell that out for me because you broke up a little bit there.
Growth with Jade.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I believe there's a number as well. Am I allowed to give out this number?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Perfect.
Can.
I didn't want to give it out just in case it wasn't like.
No, you're fine.
So the number for further information as well is a mobile number. It's 087-337-9807. It's Kilcullen's Women's Circle. It's meeting at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, which I believe is the 11th of January. Yeah. Is that correct? Thank you very much. And then you're meeting again on the 14th of January. Is that at the same time in the same place?
Yeah, at 7 o'clock in the same place. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And women and of all ages can attend.
Yeah, of all ages can attend. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, JQ. It was really lovely speaking to you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
And it's very interesting. And if people want some more information, obviously Jade was mentioning there her Instagram page. I know some people may not be using Instagram, but you can check out people's pages even if you're not an Instagram user. Her username is Growth, G-R-O-W-T-H with Jade. And you can get more information there. And again, just to give you that number, it's 087-337-9807. And a little earlier on, we were speaking with Bodywise, so I just want to give you out some numbers for that in relation to it. So I'm going to begin with Samaritans. It's 116123. The Samaritans in Newbridge and Kildare is 045-435-299. Aware's line is 1800-80-48-48. Childline's number for all under 18s is 1800-66-66. And the Mental Health Support Text Service is 50808. And I think the advice would be for anybody who's struggling right now, would say if you're in isolation and maybe you're getting out of it in the next few days and would be able to attend something like that, I'd say give it a go. Try. I know some people have different opinions on things like journaling and meditation, but you never know if you like something or if it's beneficial until you try it. So maybe we could do that for 2022. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. A particular thank you to Jen all the way over in the States in South Carolina. She is from Newbridge and she said she was flipping out when I read her message. I love it. Thanks, Jen. And also, I just want to mention Brendan. I know you've been in touch with us a lot of times previously in regards to cardiac arrest, because you, Brandon, are a cardiac arrest survivor, and he said it's absolutely shocking about the AEDs being vandalised. It was in Dublin, Carlow, etc., Mayo. Without one, Brendan says, I would not have survived my cardiac arrest 7 years ago. So Brendan and Tala, thanks so much for your text this afternoon. Take care, and I will speak with you guys again tomorrow morning.